Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, Serial Data, and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Whoop, whoop. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I am back from my Napa Valley weekend, and boy, was it fun. I'm going to tell you the whole deal. So it was Brandy and Julie, who you know from my show, Justin Martindale and his boyfriend Evan, and my friend Liz and Mark, and of course Peter. So we went up Thursday, checked into our VRBO, which was very nice. It was just like a Housewives moment where everyone ran to the rooms. Justin, I'd sent him the VRBO, and he had already picked out his room, and all the rooms were a name. I got Chardonnay. Justin got Cabernet. There were like little kid rooms upstairs that were like Petite Syrah. Anyway, so we get our room and we go to Brasswood in Napa Valley. It is a beautiful restaurant and cafe and winery, and we had so much fun. I thought that was going to be a mellow night. Like, I was like, oh, I'll have a beautiful glass of wine and, you know, a nice salad. No, we stayed so long. The owner, Marcus, was crazy amazing. Like, it was literally out of a movie. So we eat in the restaurant, then we go outside to the garden, and the guys are having cigars. Then, like, an extra pizza comes out, even like a second dinner. Then we go into, like, this wine cave, and then to this other place, and to this sitting room, and it was just a lot of red wine. Next morning, wake up, have to get ready for my shows, but we still go to Pride Winery in honor of Pride Month, but it was been called Pride for a long time. And then we went to Raymond, which is really fun. And then I got on stage, and it's not the greatest photo of me, but it's the only one I have for me being on stage. Thank you, Lisa. And the outfit was cuter when the jacket was closed. Okay, then wake up. Peter and I go for a walk. I mean, this is just like, listen, I've got Brandon putting together a longer like TikTok to music about what a fun weekend it was. Then we walked around St. Helena, and it's like everything is so freaking cute. There's a bunch of consignment stores. And Peter and I were thinking maybe it's like you're the rich wife, your husband is the Silicon Valley billionaire, and you got to show a couple losses. So take your rich person clothes and sell it at these consignment stores. Tell me, have you not noticed that if you've gone into Napa or St. Helena's? Because the stores are open from 12 to 5 on a Saturday. Doesn't sound like a real, like, hungry entrepreneur is working that store. Anyway, walk around, go to Oprah's cute bakery place called Model Bakery, the best English muffin in the world. Eat. Now we're in the Sprinter van, and we are going to Rumbauer. Todd showed us everything. We had this. Oh, this was so beautiful. I was harassed by the paparazzi, which was, like, super annoying. I guess they knew I was going there. And then I had, they call Rumbauer. They have three names that they call it. They call it Mombauer, Danville Crack, because Danville's like a ritzy community in Northern California, and my favorite, Housewife Heroin. And it really is. I love their Chardonnay, but I loved their Sauvignon Blanc. I like all the wines. It's a beautiful place. So this, we go there. We go in the caves. We look at the barrels. Then we went to Hall Winery. Oh, we ate lunch at Brasswood in between. Went to Hall Winery, which was like, felt like a private estate. Drank a lot of red wine there. Oh my God. Just so much fun. Then came back to the house and rallied, went to dinner, woke up the next morning, recapped the weekend. Just, it was seriously like the movie Wine Country, but with not all women. So fun. Then it was Father's Day. Let's talk about Father's Day. Well, Nick Cannon, as you know, he has 9 children, a couple on the way, will make 9. And only a few of the baby mamas wished him a happy Father's Day on Instagram. And as you know, if it doesn't happen on Instagram, it didn't happen at all. You can't just pick up the phone or send a card. You have to post about it. I did see a very interesting TikTok about Nick Cannon, in which there's a theory going around that he suffers from some health issues. Apparently, he has, something I want to say, but whatever he has, if it progresses, sometimes there's liver or sometimes there's kidney failure. And so these people are wondering, is he having all these kids in case one day he needs to get an organ donation? I think it's kind of a stretch. It might be like a happy, like, hey, I didn't plan on having 9 kids, but thank God if something like that happens, like, I got all these kids. I don't know who's going to give it up. But anyway, that's why I love TikTok. Lisa, who is married to the plastic surgeon on Miami, she wasn't happy with her situation on Father's Day. She took a gorgeous photo of herself and her 2 cherub children, and she wrote, "Happy Father's Day to all the amazing dads out there who put their family first." But it's just her and her 2 kids. She's the only one putting that family first. So there's a lot of snark in there. Tristan Thompson, Hollywood Unlocked, said that reportedly he has made no immediate plans to meet his son Theo as Marley Nichols awaits child support payments. So I don't know how they know this. I don't know what she did. But in the meantime, he did see his daughter True, who he has with Chloe, and they went and had a cute lunch. And then Kris Jenner posted all the fathers in her life, which include, of course, Rob, Travis, who's Kylie's baby daddy, Caitlin, who is Kendall and Kylie's baby daddy. Father. The other Travis has his kids with Courtney. I mean, with his other wife. Anyway, who cares? You know what we got. We got Kanye. We got Robert Kardashian Sr. But it just kind of, it was a lot. I do kind of wonder, because she's so organized, Kris Jenner, this has got to be all planned ahead of time. She's not laying in the bed like the rest of us, like finding 8 photos. Pretty great. Okay. Well, Rob Kardashian didn't get a Father's Day gift today, because I told you I've been following the Rob and Chyna trial. And my boy, Stephen Mango, was getting his cute court look together when he found out online they are not starting the trial today. They have settled. So the jurors were sent home. I don't know what the settlement is. I assume we won't know. That's usually, but I think it's very wise on everyone's part. This was sad. As you know, Wendy Williams is finishing, and some people were really disappointed in the way that they concluded that last show of Wendy. Now they'll have a little break, and then in the fall, we'll start with Sherry Shepherd. Sherry Shepherd said some nice words, but Wendy wasn't there, and now staffers are telling Page Six that they're just going to throw out anything that she didn't pick up, which is nothing. Her wigs are going to get tossed, and the iconic purple chair. I mean, I can't believe that. Listen, this is just someone talking to Page Six. I would think that if you've worked there for 8 years or whatever, even if you haven't talked to Wendy in this last year because it's a weird situation, really going to just throw it out like in the dumpster? Like, why wouldn't you just, I'm sure, just like, you know what, I'll take it home. So I highly doubt this is like that you're going to be able to walk around the studio and find it like on its side with like a rat running through it. I think someone is going to make sure they take it home. Anyway, the whole situation is just a real bummer because the show went on for so long. As you know, I have my Wendy robe. I have my Wendy cup. I got to be on the show a bunch of times. It was so fun. I wish Sherry the best. It has nothing to do with Sherry. She deserves the show too. I just feel badly that Wendy found herself in this situation. And it all seemed to happen once it was revealed that her husband, you know, was not only having an affair, but had a child on the way. Then they got divorced. Then, you know, it was interesting because then she did those 2 movies, one the documentary, one the Lifetime movie about her life. And when she shared the breakup of the marriage, and then she still was doing the show. And then it was after that, that now we just don't really know why she left and didn't come back. We don't know if it's part of her Graves' disease, if she's struggling with something else, if she's just over it. But I mean, it's just, anyway, people are bummed about it, myself included. So Leah Thompson is the transgender woman, as you know, that really had a lot of controversy happening because when she was living as a boy, she was like 155th ranked in the men's swimming. And then when she transitioned at 22 years old into a female Leah, she, you know, won all these medals, and her teammates at college pretty much didn't say anything because you can't. And anyway, they have now said, the head of the swimming said, no, if you are a trans man and want to compete against biological females, you will have had to transition by 12. You will have to be on the hormones and everything, but and living your life as a girl with the hormones and as a 12-year-old, because they believe it is not fair, being that a biological man's body has broader shoulders, a larger lung capacity, along with being taller and bigger muscle mass. But those two things are really a big deal in the art, in the sport of swimming. So kind of interesting that they say that when at the same time there's this movement that's saying like, we shouldn't be giving kids these drugs at this young age. Yet to successfully transition and possibly play the sport you want to play, you've got to take these. Anyway, it's a lot, and it's a lot for Pride Month, but there you go. And J-Lo, her Netflix special is out. I've yet to see it, though everyone says I should, and I will, because I do enjoy her. She said that my mom beat the shit out of me. She said, she, meaning her mother, did what she had to do to survive, and it made her strong, but it also made her tough, and she beat the shit out of me. Well, I kind of like the honesty, and a lot of kids, a lot of adults that are of a certain age may have gotten hit as a part of discipline. I think we know better now. I think, you know, that's just how, and also culturally, sometimes that was considered okay. But pretty juicy. I don't know how the mom feels about it. I always remember the mom won the lottery. I want to say she won the lottery, and then she also, we looked this up. I want to say she won the lottery literally, and she also had a huge win at a casino one time. Besides winning the lottery with J-Lo as your daughter, like she's literally won some stuff. Oh, she won $2.4 million in the slots jackpot. So I guess that makes the blow a little easier that your daughter's saying that, telling the world that you hit her. Jennifer Lopez, speaking of her daughter, she introduced her twin. She's twins, boy-girl twins. The one that she introduced last night to sing, Emma, has been singing with her a couple times. She also performed at the halftime show, I think, with the they-them pronoun. Did I say she?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know, though. I think it's new, but there's a little bit of a confusion because I think at first people thought she was talking about her twins together. Like, they sometimes don't want me to bring them out to shine, but I am, something like that. But here they are. And then just one person came out, which is the daughter named Emma. So, or the human named Emma. Anyway, it's been a big month. And then also Tori Spelling's husband or ex-husband would be, I don't even know, but Dean McDermott, he announced that his older son, I think the one that is Tori's stepson, is gay. And then his other son is a trans girl. Okay. Amber Heard, has continued to fight back and releases. He said she's going to release years worth of therapy notes detailing allegations of physical abuse by Johnny Depp. We saw a little bit of this on the Today Show. It was all part of a long Dateline. I was just watching our local news, and they said, interestingly, it was like a very, very low rated Dateline episode featuring Amber Heard. And I kind of thought, well, probably because a lot of people that watch Dateline listen to Juicy Scoop, and I've covered this thoroughly, and they're like over it. But still found it kind of interesting. I don't know. But you know what? I don't know if I'll watch it. It's in my DVR. I'm like, I got it. I got what you're saying. She's basically saying Nobody came forward. No one is coming forward but me, because look what happened when I came forward. My life is ruined. You know, people are sending Heather McDonald fake turds for her birthday, because my name is Amber Turd now. And it happened, okay? I have all this evidence that they wouldn't allow in this trial that says something differently. I was also thinking, though, if your doctor that you're reporting this to was taking notes, as a doctor, it is his duty, just like a school nurse or a teacher or anything like that. When you say you're being abused, they have to report it. They have to go to the police. So who's this doctor that you're reporting this to about being physically abused, who then didn't go to the police? Was that person being paid off by Johnny Depp too? I mean, that I find very, very weird. Anyway, she called the paparazzi and said, go into TJ Maxx and show me shopping. They just happened to be inside TJ Maxx, just like they happened to be outside and inside Walmart when Pete Davidson was, hanging out with Saint. So it's interesting because, you know, these are places I go. I don't see paparazzi. However, when I was at Rumbauer walking the gardens, the paparazzi was there, and it was just, I kind of freaked out. So I'm just warning you guys, like, I don't get me canceled, but we were like very, very harassed. And you can go to my Instagram or TikTok and Reels, wherever. I posted it everywhere just because I want people to be aware of like absolutely how invasive it is. So I feel for Amber Heard when you're just shopping for some clothes to let the world know that you're just a regular girl that meant to give $7 million to Children's Hospital and the ACLU, but didn't, okay, because your ex was suing you. So, but that was your intention. And now you're just a single mother who has a huge bill on her hands, and she's going to go to the same TJ Maxx that Erica Jane went to. And apparently TMZ is very familiar with that TJ Maxx, so good for her. Major weird behind the scenes social media juice on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. On Wednesday's episode, a couple things happened. Diane Jenkins, who is the newest housewife. She's 48 or 49. She's a one-year-old baby with her second baby daddy. She came from Bosnia, was very poor, lived like war-torn, like horrible childhood, got out there. She's very pretty and she's extremely rich. When she divorced the husband who she has the adult kids with, to my understanding, she got $250 million. She has a jet. So when Dorit says, I don't know, PK, I'm just feeling so weird after the robbery. He says, you know what? Take the girls. Go to Punta Mita. That's what you do. You go to Punta Mita after you get robbed at gunpoint. You go to Punta Mita. She goes to Punta Mita. She's like, you know, at the hotel, they gave me a room with a balcony right outside on the first floor, mind you. And so I'm having anxiety. Anyway, they're there having some fun. And Lisa Rinna goes, tell everybody, Diane Jenkins, about your beautiful book, Rube 23, because she modeled in it. It was just a bunch of people in a room naked. I wish I could see it, but apparently it's $500 and also out of print. Diane says, I think I already told the story. I don't think I want to talk about it. I have to work on her accent. But anyway, she says, I don't want to talk about it. They cut to her interviews, and she's like, I did this book. The intention was good. Erica Jane's like, yes, very sex positive, very beautiful, very sexual, very much about the body, about the woman's body. And so there were articles written about this book and a lot of deep dive Reddits that believed that this was a book of clients and their customers, that it was like a, you know, call girl kind of a thing. And was she a call girl at one time? There was rumors about that. There was rumors that somehow she even joked. She goes, apparently people thought I was some big sex trafficker, some international sex trafficker. Absolutely not true. Well, now there is photos of her hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. Who else was in that photo? The Jeffrey Epstein photo. Anyway, but listen, people hung out with Jeffrey Epstein doesn't mean that they were, you know, that you could be at a party with Harvey Weinstein, too. It doesn't mean that you slept with him or you were delivering women to him. However, I don't know what that is. I mean, I could think of a scenario of where the rumor started. Doesn't mean it's true, but I assume she's a very beautiful woman. She might have known a lot of other really beautiful women, and she's with a really rich guy or husband, and he's got all these powerful people coming. And you know what? Let's have some beautiful eye candy. Let's have some classy, gorgeous looking women. And if they want to partake in something with who they meet with after, okay. I'm just saying that could have been how the rumor started. I don't think at any time was she like booking it like Heidi Fleiss and give me 10% or anything like that. But maybe that's where these stories started of like this elite crowd that would go out on, you know, yachts, and they go out on the yachts because you're out in the sea and there's no jurisdiction. And now you know these powerful people. And just like you're the person that has the yacht or the person that brings the great ball of wine, maybe you're also that person that has the really hot, gorgeous girls that like rich men and buying purses. I don't know. But she does not, this book was not a good move for her. And she is able to, whatever, laugh it off. But she does end up in tears later that night because I think she's starting to freak out that the book was brought up. But Lisa Rinna, one, she's in it. But two, I think she's like, I know that would be kind of juicy to talk about. So meanwhile, Crystal has now profusely apologized to Sutton for saying, when Sutton said, I had a little international soup in my jacuzzi. I had my daughter. She had two of her African-American friends. She had a Chinese friend, and she had a redhead Catholic girl. And I said, that is what I want. It's like, so Crystal goes, okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was problematic. I guess nobody did. I used the wrong words. I'm sorry. And Sutton's like, you better just say it to my face so you'll never do that to me again, because I know you've done it to some other people. I know you've done it to some other people with your 14 friends that dumped you. So we'll get into that in a minute. Apparently, Crystal had 14 friends that dumped her. And I have some theories about that. But first, we go back to the Diane Jenkins, because she had quite a weekend. First, she had to deal with this. Then on Friday morning or Saturday morning, I think, some shit went down. She there is this Instagram account that found a photo of Diane Jenkins and wrote, look how different she looked, whatever, 8 years ago, and posted it. And it had a very small following. And Diane Jenkins went after this person and was like, really? This photo was 20 pounds thinner. And it was at this UCLA law thing where I was talking about war-torn Bosnia. And, you know, so she's pissed. She's like, no, I didn't have like a ton of plastic surgery. Fuck off, whatever. So then the woman is like, oh, I'm getting all this press from it. I just started being, you know, posting about things like this. This is what gets her in trouble. She says, Diane Jenkins says, let me see. So wait, she goes, can't be the same woman. And then Diane Jenkins, whose Instagram is very weird. It's SDJNEURO. I don't know what that stands for, but that's her Instagram. She goes, it can't feel good being a black content creator.
Black capitalized.
Oh, interesting that you caught that. So Annie caught the fact that in this sentence, she wrote black with a capital B. Well, according to Diane Jenkins, she didn't know it was anything bad to do. Crystal called her up. What the fuck is this about? So then she wrote, oh, my God, Crystal, just call me. What the fuck is this about? I had no idea that this person was black as in the color of her skin. I thought a Instagram account that writes this kind of snarky shit about someone having plastic surgery and not looking good, I thought that was like black content. Like I don't know how someone might say black comedy is dark comedy. It's black comedy about whatever, death or something. That's what she's claiming. You should believe her, because even though she's got millions of dollars and has been a mother for a long time and is almost 50, she didn't come from America. She does also speak four languages, and she spoke at this very important conference at UCLA, as she said, this law conference at UCLA. She's an author. She did a big book. You can't get mad at her because she was not born in America. She's an immigrant, so therefore, give her a break. Meanwhile, she said that Sutton was yelling at her and that Sutton's words are sloppy and this and that, or clumsy. She said, Sutton, you're clumsy, you're awkward, you're this. So all I can say is this woman has so much money. She's very attractive. She also has a team of people that go anytime she travels, and they go to the hotel and set it up and make sure that everything is beautiful and like the pillows are right and the pillowcase is right and there's like the right scent going on in the room, maybe like a certain diffuser. But I think it could also be for security reasons that they make sure that, so you're not on the bottom floor like Dorit. Like you're making sure everything's safe and secure. There's no bugs in the room. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what they would do if like Secret Service or something. Also, you're just rich and why not? You know, she said, I've never been shopping. I've never this, I've never that. And that was the other thing this woman was kind of mocking her at, which pissed her off because she's like, was this the face of a person that has never been inside a regular store or what? I just think she's got to wake up and be like, why the hell did I go on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? So I don't know what's going to happen with her. But yeah, I just guess because you think you're like Erica Jane and you think you're so above it that you, even if you're doing shady things in your life or you have kind of a controversial background that could be misconstrued or talked about, I think you're just like, why not? I'll be famous too. I'm beautiful. I'm rich. I'll be famous too. Get ready. This was pretty fun. Okay, so now let's get back. Alex by Aileen 2, which is a Twitter account, at Mary Souls Cup is her name. She took the classic photo of Teresa flipping the table and said, me to Crystal, you were dropped by friends 14 times? Thought that was funny. So this is what I think happened with Crystal and her 14 friends. From the research that I've done, these girls look pretty normal. They don't look like the cupcake girls from Newport that are all size zero and all around the same age. They look like they're probably wealthy women, and they look a little older than Crystal. So I think she made friends with a lot of these kind of powerful women, very rich women, through her husband's business and being a director and whatever. And she kind of got put on this list, and she got to be invited to the people's birthday, which was probably once or twice a month. There'd probably, if there's 14 of them, you got to figure there's got to be a girl's dinner at least once or twice a month. And that's what I think she was going to. We're in Beverly Hills and they're rich. I think what happened was probably a handful of them over the years have been approached to be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And maybe they considered it. Maybe they really wanted it. Crystal probably shit on it, and then she got it, and they were like, that's what I think happened. I've heard it happen with other franchises before, and, you know, I can see why they chose Crystal. She is a woman of color. We wanted to see different experiences and different people. She's younger. I think they wanted younger. And I think she's been an interesting hit. I mean, we're talking about it. I like her as a person. But probably some of these other women that have been kind of circling the drain to get on for a while might have found it to be hypocritical that she took it. And or maybe they're just bummed that she took it. But I think there was something that she must have said or done. Maybe they were all being interviewed at the same time and they somehow believe that maybe she sabotaged their chance or whatever. But they can only include like one or two new people max every season. So it's either you or me. I mean, from what she told me, she was like, I didn't seek it out. I didn't think it was going to be true. So I don't really think she was pursuing it until they approached her. So she also may have, like I said, shit on in the past. And then somehow there's probably some jealousy there. And because she was younger and didn't have the history with the other women, they were just like, yeah, she's out. She's out of the group, you guys. She's out of the group. Also, we don't want her knowing our personal business if she's going to be on this housewife show and being out as a public figure. That could also be it. I remember I was supposed to go to a dinner with a rich billionaire female women party out in Santa Barbara, and I was really excited to meet these women. And the minute my friend who was bringing me along told them that I was coming, they were like, no. And I'm like, oh my God. So, I mean, I think they're like, we don't want like some comedian there. I mean, I really think they just might have thought like, I want to talk about like, these are my, I'm going to dinner with six people. These are my good friends. I want to talk about the stuff. I don't want to worry about like who else is there or whatever. So that's me, just my own just philosophy of knowing women, relationships, rich women, and TV, and what I think may have happened. But I don't know that anybody really knows the truth. If you do, write me. Meanwhile, Kathy Hilton and Lisa Rinna are still going at each other, even though Patrick Summers has disappeared. That was the kid that started the controversy from a couple weeks ago. Reality Rundown had this. Kathy, who's still friends with Crystal, remember I went to dinner with them for the book party for Brazen, Julia Hart. Kathy sees so Crystal does a little cute photo of her dog. And Kathy goes, so sweet. Okay, that's it. Lisa Rinna turns off her phone from dancing, okay? Hikes up her free people sweats and gets out the phone and was like, oh, writes under Kathy's comment, at Kathy Hilton, I remember when you first got the show, you called me and said what Kim said about Harry, she made it all up, and know that right. And I said, I know she did, Kathy. Just flashed on that today for some reason. Oof, you're so angry. So basically, I mean, Lisa Rinna just really wants to stay in this fight and talk about it. And why? And she, you know, she knows that these people follow this type of stuff, and it's not hard. If you want to write a comment under someone's post, you're verified, and it's anything to deal with the housewives, one of 20 Instagram accounts will catch it and make a story about it. And Heather McDonald and Juicy Scoop might be talking about it. So she knows what she's doing. So I think she just wants to just solidify that forever rumor when Kim's like, let's talk about the husband, that there's nothing to talk about Harry Hamlin, except if you want to talk about his sauce, his compost, or his great gardening skills. Okay? That's it. If you want anything else to talk about, we're not talking about it. Okay? So there you go. Meanwhile, her daughter, Amelia Gray, who used to date Scott Disick, they covered their eyebrows in this awful look where you put like white cream on your eyebrows, so you have no eyebrows, and they're licking lollipops and barely dressed. Her and Julia Fox. Julia Fox, we thought, went away. But I told you guys, the drought in LA is really, really bad. It's getting into a serious place. Like, you're not supposed to water your lawns. And these girls are really thirsty. They're getting really thirsty. Even though Julia's on the East Coast, she came in dehydrated, so thirsty. And they're trying to get some, some hydration from these lollipops and having no brows. I hate this no brow look. This is a look that has gone in and out of style since 1900. Madonna did it at one point. I think it looks awful. I don't want it to come back. But look, it got us talking about it. Just interesting that she dated Kanye and she dated Scott Disick. And it's, you know, a couple days before Father's Day. So whatever. Now I'm very excited, you guys. I get to talk to Luann de Lesseps. Had a great interview with her. And here we go. We're going to hear all the juice in New York. Well, people are out and about. They're joining the gym again. But the same thing that happened before the pandemic is happening now. You know what that is. You got there late. You couldn't find parking. You're frustrated. You didn't sign up for the class in time. There's no spot for you. And now there's no workout for you. Well, that never happens when you have a Peloton. It's the one thing I still love doing from home. And I love it because whether I've got 15 minutes or 45 minutes, Peloton has thousands of live and on-demand classes, always keeping it so fresh. I love that there's other Juicy Scoopers on there that I can find what fun rides they're doing. I love my favorite instructor, Cody Rigsby. And there's so many fun, inspiring, outgoing people that really keep it fresh and keep you motivated. And from cycling and strength training to yoga and running, they have it all. You can utilize these different exercises and movement classes on the app. So right now is the best time. Right now is the perfect time to try out Peloton. Peloton Bike is now $500 less, its best price yet, including free delivery and setup. And there are more game-changing prices available on the original Peloton Bike and Peloton Tread. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I'm with my returning guest, friend, legend, icon, cabaret star, and so much more, Luann de Lesseps, Countess Luann. Welcome.
Hi, Heather. Very good to see you. I haven't seen you in ages.
I know, and I'm going to see you on the 23rd here in LA. I was thinking about it. This is almost, is this like kind of like your fourth round of shows or tour per se? Like, I feel like you started quite a while ago now.
Yeah, I started in 2018, and the last time I was in LA, I played the Wiltern, which was amazing. It was a sold out show and packed to the gills. Did you come to that show?
I don't think I came to that one, but I've seen you twice in New York. Mm-hmm. I also saw you at BravoCon.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I played BravoCon. Yeah. Right. So the last time I was in LA, I played the Wiltern, and it was so exciting because, we had done something with the Doorbells with Andy Cohen at that theater, and to be back there and actually be playing it on my own was amazing. And, you know, I had, you know, Molly Shannon came and Terry Hatcher, and I had all these celebrities come. It was incredible. And so it's exciting to be back in LA and play the iconic El Rey Theater. I'll be there four nights, you know, the 23rd to the 26th.
Yes.
So super excited to bring an all new show. I have a new director now who is Kristen Chenoweth's director, the Queen of Broadway's director. And, you know, he's been Bette Midler's director and Barbara Streisand. And so I'm working with the best in the business. I work really hard to bring a great show to the stage. And, you know, I'm excited to feature my new song, F-Bombs on the G4 with the OGs, which is spun off of the Ultimate Girls Trip, because I always get inspired. You know, that's how I write my music. That's how I wrote Money Can't Buy You Class and Chic Say La Vie and Feeling Giovanni because it feels so good. So, you know, I always get inspired by the ladies. This show is no different. You know, you'll see that, you know, new song in the show. I do a Q&A with the audience and we talk everything housewives, which is a lot of fun. I've got some great video packages. And I take, you know, some classic cabaret songs and I turn them on their heads. And I sing a lot of my favorite music that I personally like to sing, and all the songs I pick myself in and are linked together by stories that, that kind of, explain how I got to that song, et cetera. So it's a good time. It is a full on party and I'm just having the best time, you know, and spreading the joy of cabaret.
Well, I definitely think that the vibe in the shows that I've gone to is just so fun. You know, it's like everyone's so excited to be out and it's just like a really fun time. So not only are you having fun watching the show, but you're kind of having fun with the people surrounding you and the environment. So I'm bringing my girlfriends and I'm celebrating my birthday. Yesterday was my birthday, but I like to milk it out for 2 to 3 weeks.
Happy birthday. You're pulling a Ramona, huh?
Totally. Oh, Ramona and I. Speaking of Ramona. Where were you? It's like, where were you, you know, when JFK got shot, for older people? Like, where were you when you heard that Ramona did the IG story revealing the deets of Teresa's wedding and the invitation?
Oh, my God. I think I was in Canada, to tell you the truth. I've been on a tour. So I was, you know, not surprised because, you know, Ramona, you know, did not realize because of her, you know, her ability at social media, did not realize that, you know, by doing a video that people could freeze it and actually blow up all the details of Teresa's wedding. So you know, I think she did it as a total accident, obviously.
Yes, definitely.
And I felt like, you know, I felt, you know, at first I felt bad for her. And then I felt bad for Teresa because she's had to move a lot of things around because of that faux pas. And, yeah, you know, and, you know, it's typical Ramona.
It's so typical Ramona. So when that happened, of course, like, you know, I see it. People are, you know, posting it and joking about it, whatever. And so I hear from, you know, I think Allie wrote me like, did you see this? Jill's errands, Allie. Oh, look what I'm wearing. I'm wearing Scary Island.
Oh, my God.
This is Jill and Allie's shirt.
I love it.
So I called
Jill. And look what I'm wearing. Wait.
Giovanni. Oh, that's the Giovanni little cute jacket. I love it.
Whoops. My computer. Yeah. That's I got so my cute little Giovanni bomber on.
Yeah, it's really cute. So anyway, I called Jill as Ramona and I blamed it all on Jill. I was like, you know what, Jill? I don't know how this story got out. Okay. Obviously we've had our ups and downs and I did this whole long thing. And she goes, I'm going to share this with Teresa. And I'm like, I know like when it's all said and done, hopefully she didn't get disinvited. Obviously it was like a mistake and, you know, but then there was rumors that you were going to be a bridesmaid with Kenya.
That is the funniest thing in the world. In fact, I just got off the phone with Teresa because, you know, she invited me to the wedding and I wanted to talk to her about the details. And I told her, I said, people think that I'm one of your bridesmaids. I said, I don't know how that happened, but, you know, am I your bridesmaid? And I don't know it.
Yeah.
And she laughed. And I said, oh, my God, how upset would Melissa Gorga be, you know, if I was to be a bridesmaid? I said, I don't know how that story came out, but it's totally not true.
But you are going.
I'm planning on going. Yes.
Yes. That's very nice. It's because you guys, you know, I feel like, you know, so many housewives throughout the years doing shows together, all this stuff. And then of so many of the, you know, you're so generous inviting people to your shows as well. But, did you love when you heard about Ultimate Girls Trip, since you were on the first one in the Bahamas, were you super excited about it? Were you nervous about who you might know? Did you know who you were going to be on with when they asked you, or did you accept and just like throw caution to the wind and, you know, it's not Scary Island?
I think at first I accepted, if I remember correctly, and, you know, listen, they called and they were like, it was the Turks and Caicos.
Right.
And they're like, do you want to go on this trip with some of the various housewives from other franchises and go for a week vacation and get paid? I'm like, yes, that sounds great to me. And then I found out who was coming and, you know, I didn't know Kenya at all. And everybody was like, oh, you got to be careful. She's shady and throw shade and blah, blah, blah. And I ended up getting along with her probably the best. I got along with everybody, to tell you the truth. I mean, Kyle surprised me. I thought Kyle might be a little stuck up, but she's actually really down to earth and couldn't have been nicer and was a lot of fun. I mean, we laughed a lot. And, you know, Ramona ended up being the wild card for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I enjoyed about it is that you guys would have those moments that felt very much like when you go on a real girls trip that isn't being filmed, and you'd have those moments of just like having breakfast and being like, God, what was that like when that happened on your show, like to each other?
Yeah.
And then having the perspective of that, it wasn't your, you know, it wasn't your cast and it wasn't your season, but you watched it. And then being a housewife, you could participate in the point of view and the conversation. I thought that was like really cool. And like when they do more of them, they should make sure that they really, you know, make sure that the girls do that kind of a thing. Because that, to me, that was the most interesting. Not even like that there was a little bit of conflict. Who cares about that? I liked like those breakfast moments of you guys like talking.
Well, yeah, what they call it, you know, breaking the fourth wall. We broke the fourth wall and we talked about what it is to be like on our different, you know, franchises. And I thought that was really good. It's, you know, things that people never get to hear that they want to know. And so it was great to be able to share, you know, our experiences because, you know, listen, we're all, you know, housewives. And, you know, we all go through our, you know, our things on the show and people don't necessarily get, you know, those details that you get to hear. So I think it was a very smart thing. And that trip to me felt very old housewives. It felt OG housewives. There was drama, but the right amount. It wasn't crazy. It was very, I think, like you said, it was very interesting to see that side of our lives in terms of what it's like to actually be filming on The Housewives.
And no one gave you shit for just taking a swim on the beach.
That's right. I mean, right?
When you're in Miami and they were just like so awful and you're like, my God, I just want to take a swim on the beach.
Like, I know. And then I'm there in my lounge chair, like relaxing while they're like, why isn't she getting us truffle fries? I mean, what's the matter with her? She went to see her cabaret poster. How dare she? Like, I'm playing the Jackie Gleason Theater in Miami, which is a big deal to me.
And I'm like, also, you're there a couple weeks before it happens. That's such a great post, right? You know, to take a photo of you and be like, see you in a couple weeks. Like, who? No person wouldn't do that. If I had that opportunity, I would be doing it too. Like, it was of course. But you know.
Yeah.
Like when that was that whole, like, not everything's a cabaret.
Life is not a cabaret.
Yeah. And it's like, well, that is your career and you're still doing it, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it's weird because, you know, the women always talk about supporting, let's support each other. Yeah. But then if someone is, you know, actually really doing something great, then it's like, there's always that girl that's really not as supportive. Otherwise, why would you shit on it? You know,
exactly. Well, you know, and it's funny because I do talk about that moment in my cabaret show. And I do talk about all the really horrible things that have happened to me. And I sing a song. It's really funny. You're going to love it.
Oh, good. Okay. So now, did you see the latest drama with Dorinda and what she said about Vicky? Because their season's coming up on the 23rd, actually, or 21st.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I heard something's going back and forth about, you know, Dorinda and Vicky, and remind me exactly what it was. I can't remember.
So basically, you know, Vicky's saying like she misheard it, but basically Dorinda got wind that Vicky said something. Oh, you know, Bluestone Manor is kind of old and dark. It's not really my vibe. I'm paraphrasing. Something to that effect.
Yes, I remember now, yeah.
And then, you know, she just went off because, you know, Bluestone Manor is, you know, so fabulous and was built in 1922. And she has, and what would a woman who, you know, dances on tables in Puerto Vallarta or wherever know about taste or class? And then I just watched a clip of it and she's like, well, clearly, you know, she's jealous of me, and a lot of people are jealous of me when you're doing as well as I am. And I'm like,
oh God, what, Dorinda said that?
Yes. And I'm like, I don't really think that's the case. I mean, I think this is stemming from they did not get along.
Right.
And we're going to get to see that. And I think it'll be pretty fun and juicy. But
I think it's going to be a much different vibe than the Turks and Caicos. I mean, I love Dorinda, but Bluestone Manor is not that house in the Turks and Caicos.
Right. And of course, it's going to be a different thing than if everybody just went to a remote location where no one owns it. I mean, exactly. I think it will be a very different vibe. It'll be super juicy. The stakes in certain places will be higher just because of that. So I actually think it's kind of brilliant that they will be so different. But
to say Dorinda's house isn't fabulous, but and in that it was a lot more work for her. I mean, for Dorinda to have all the crew, all the cast in her house, I mean, that's got to be nerve-wracking. So, you know, hats off to Dorinda for having everyone in her home, because that takes a lot of work.
Yeah. And you were the one that really made a point to remind us that there was a fish room and that you were constantly being... You're either wearing the bowels of Ramona's house or the fish room.
I know, right? And I think I took it pretty well.
Yes. How do you feel about Ramona being a realtor now?
You know, Ramona loves, you know, real estate. She loves home and decoration and stuff like that. So, you know, I hope that she thrives in it. You know, I think it's a good second, you know, chance in life for her to do something different. Why not?
So you're not worried that she's going to be stolen by the two little tiny Oppenheimer twins of Selling Sunset? She could wear those outfits. She could rock. She could rock those tiny shorts.
She will move to LA in a heartbeat.
Now, what is this about, the spinoff of you and Sonia?
Well, I mean, I really can't talk about that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, nothing is confirmed, so I have really no comment on it, but it does sound fabulous. So, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't say, but I mean, I think it would be fun. I mean, you guys are fun together. Some of the comments was like, well, if this is supposed to be the simple life, you know, Luann wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth like Paris Hilton. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You can cook. You're a nurse. Aren't you one of seven? So I'm like, it can't be that you're like, you know, I don't think it would be that is what I'm saying. The way they wrote in page six, I'm like, I don't think it'll be that because you're not going to be like fumbling around like an idiot, you know?
No, not at all. Not at all. So there you go. That's where rumors start. You see?
Yeah.
It's page six. Don't forget.
Right. Okay. Well, good. So tell me if you're going to do another, first let me ask, can you share anything about the talk of having, you know, Real Housewives of New York, like classic, and Real Housewives of New York newbies? Like, can you share anything or what your thoughts were when you heard those rumors?
Well, I was surprised because I found out literally like everybody else 5 minutes before. So I was surprised. I really didn't see that coming. And at first I was disappointed. And then I thought, you know what? I would really like to film with the OGs because I feel comfortable with those girls. And you know, it's always hard to bring somebody new in and they don't really fit. It's like, you know, the square peg in the round hole doesn't fit. And so I feel like, you know what? Let them try a new cast. And let's bring back the old cast. And you know, I'm good with that. I'm excited about it. I don't know what's happening in terms of, you know, if I'm even being cast, but you know, I think we're going to have news fairly soon. So that's exciting.
And you know, that season was a struggle, you know, because also what was going on in the world, it was just like everybody was talking with their friends about, you know, social injustice and politics and everything, just so then you guys would get together and it would come up as well. But when you were in it and living it, did you have the concerns of like, wow, this really isn't the usual housewife's fun? This feels like a struggle. Or did you not realize it till like after you started watching it and seeing like the audience reaction?
Well, listen, you know, I felt it was a struggle from the get-go. You know, we filmed during Black Lives Matters. We filmed during an election. We filmed during a pandemic, you know, so we were limited in terms of where we could go. We were limited in having any people around, you know, so it didn't feel like the party of the housewives that it usually does. So I knew it was going to be more difficult and it was filming. And, you know, you never know until, you know, you actually are seeing the show because, you know, we don't edit it and all of that stuff. So, I actually was very proud of ourselves for getting through the pandemic and filming. And I feel like we got to a good place at the end of the season, you know, with Ramona's pajama party and our topless party. So, you know, I felt like we were in a good place and, you know, and, you know, I'm hoping the next season is going to be even better.
Speaking of the topless moment, I thought it was kind of not necessarily hypocritical because people change and times change. But I remember when Ramona walked off the reunion because she was like, I can't even have a conversation about the fact that Alex McCord did some nude photos or something.
Right. Topless.
And then here she is like just dancing around and pasties.
Handing out titty pasties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think only stupid people don't change their mind. Yeah. And I think it shows some growth on Ramona's part.
I mean, why the hell not? Right. She looks great. Who cares?
She looks great for Asia.
I agree. Now you guys didn't have a reunion. And, you know, we heard different reasons why, but how did you feel about that?
Well, you know, I feel like I said, you know, by the end of the season, I feel like we all were in a good place. I feel like, you know, that with the timing issues of the show and not getting the reunion done in time, it was also a scheduling conflict issue with the network. And so it just never happened. And I can't say that I was mad at it because I was in the south of France and I just stayed longer. So yeah. I was okay with it.
So you didn't have a reunion dress waiting in the wings that now you could just use for your show? No, you didn't have one planned out?
We didn't even get that far, you know?
Yeah.
So it was no big deal. You know, listen, you know, the reunions are always difficult in any case. So so I feel like, you know, we've gotten to a good place. So I really didn't feel like we needed to rehash it all.
Do you have a favorite, like, reunion look or a reunion look that you regretted that you're like,
I think probably, well, let's see. My favorite is, you know, probably, you know, I've worn some really gorgeous Giovanni dresses in the reunion. Probably I had this strapless black number one year that was amazing. So I've had a couple of favorite looks, and my worst look, I don't know. I would say it was probably in the very beginning of the reunion.
Yeah, before you really
knew. Yeah,
And do they always say to you, like, okay, you guys, the choice, you can wear either black or red. Send us three choices. Because I always hear so many different things about how they come up with that scheme.
Right. Well, basically, they come up with a color scheme because, you know, they have all these different franchises now. And so we all have to look different, right? So basically, it's a color scheme. And then you kind of pick your favorite look and then send that in. And, you know, the earlier you get it in, the better, so that you get first choice.
Right. Or have you ever, or I'm sure there's been a chance, like if everyone has to wear yellow or something, like Atlanta or whatever, I think it was Atlanta that wore yellow.
Yeah.
How many yellow fabulous gowns are out there? You know, there's a chance that you might pick one that your co-star also has. And it's like,
well, it's never happened to me. So I've been lucky that way. We have different tastes on my franchise.
Well, that's good. Now, what is going on with the sobriety? Are you still totally sober or are you partaking?
Yeah, no, I'm totally sober. And, you know, I take it day by day. I, you know, listen, it's a journey, and it's, you know, progress, not perfection, I say. And, you know, every day, you know, people struggle with sobriety, and, you know, I'm no different. And so I take it day by day. I'm so lucky I have my option of my Fosé, which I will be bringing to my California shows for everybody to try.
Yes, I heard it's delicious.
It is delicious. So I'm super excited to have people taste it out in LA. And I'm actually having a party in the Hamptons on July 2nd to celebrate it with Purist Magazine. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, you know, I made something during the pandemic with my daughter. My daughter is also sober, Victoria. And, you know, we couldn't find something that we liked and elevated in a beautiful bottle. You know, you're at the mercy of a mocktail artist, and, you know, it's usually sweet and filled with sugar. And so, you know, I wanted to have something that was a great option. And, you know, whether you don't drink for a day or for a week or for the rest of your life, it is a great option. And, you know, people drink a glass of rosé, then they'll have a glass of Fosé, or people put vodka in it. So, you know, it is, it's a great, great option for me. I love it. It's low calorie and it is filled with fabulous ingredients that are healthy for you. So there's a lot of great qualities that go into it. I worked really hard on it and came up with something that I really love, and people are loving it. So that's fabulous.
Okay. I love that too. So, let me just ask you, are you getting a chance to keep up with the other Housewives shows? Have you seen Dubai?
I have glimpsed and watched a little bit of Dubai. Excuse me. I've seen a little bit of Dubai. Carolyn Stansbury, I know, is like a friend of Dorinda's from England at a time. So I've heard a lot about her. And she looks gorgeous and has that cute young boyfriend, right? And, And then I don't know who there's like the one right in the center with Caroline. She's looks like she might be Indian or.
Oh, the model Chanel.
Yeah.
And she's like very bold in her opinions and they don't get along. Yeah.
Right.
Have you ever been to Dubai? Oh, you guys went, did you guys go as a cast to Dubai?
No, we didn't go to Dubai as a cast, but I've been to Dubai before. Not for long. I don't know it well, but it looks pretty glamorous.
Yeah. I mean, it's as a viewer, it's like you're excited for a new season, but it's almost like, oh my God, I have to learn, you know, six new people. Cause normally if you go back to, you know, a Beverly Hills, oh, there's one new person that I can like, and then everybody else, I know their backstory. So honestly, as like a viewer, it feels like a little bit like more of an effort and homework, you know, but I think, you know, it'll be a hit. I'm going to continue to watch it. It's just taking time to like
get into the characters,
get a little more into it. And
you have to learn about the characters, get interested in their storylines, you know, discover who they are. You know, I think like you said, you have to do a little bit more homework because it's a new franchise.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's cool. And it looks like they've got a lot of money to play with those girls.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of interesting. I've never been there. I don't know that I would probably only go if it was like, you know, if we're filming a TV show or they hired me to do something like that's not on my list to just like go with my family.
Right, to Dubai.
So, so we'll see. But I wanted to also, so what's going on with the love life? Are you?
Well, listen, you know, I'm dating. Do I have anybody special in my life? Not right now. I've been, you know, so busy with the tour that I'm focusing on that right now. And then this summer, you know, watch out. I'm single and ready to mingle.
And where are you going to be this summer? Mostly in the Hamptons or are you traveling?
You know, I'll be Hamptons. I'll be traveling. So, you know, I feel like timing is everything in life and I'm a hopeless romantic. So I feel like three times the charm. So, you know, look at Teresa. She found Louis. So there's hope.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, I think it's like you definitely, though, have to. I think it's hard, though, too, as you know, like you got to find someone that's down to be in the limelight.
Right.
And, you know, in his case, I think he's comfortable in front of the camera and I think he loves what she does. But then there's this risk that it could, you know, affect your personal life and your business as well. It's like a double-edged sword, you know.
It is a double-edged sword. I think it's very difficult for men. But you know, my experience is that, you know, listen, Jacques was great on the show. You know, he was very supportive and he always, you know, came out looking great because he was comfortable with who he was. And I think if you got skeletons in your closet, this is definitely not the show you want to be on.
And what's going on with Harry Dubin? Is he dating Ramona again? I saw some blind that they were out smooching again.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I wouldn't doubt it because, you know, they move in the same kind of social circles. So, you know, probably by the end of the night, you know, they get a little bit more friendly. You know what I mean?
I love it. Okay.
A little kissy by the toilettes, you know?
And so we're going to see you in LA. What other dates do you have that you can share so people can see you before you take a break?
Well, you know what? I'm taking a break right after my LA date. So
you are? Okay, great.
Catch me in LA. And because I've just been on tour, you know, I played, let's see, like 11 shows. I did New York before that. And I did an East Coast tour and then Canada. So LA is where I'm landing. And super excited to finish out my tour in Los Angeles with you.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will be there on the 23rd.
Awesome.
And so are there still tickets available?
There's still tickets. I think, I think there's still some tickets available on the 23rd but the 24th, 25th and 26th, there's some tickets and you know, but they're going fast. So I'm excited to get there and perform and see you and see all my friends in LA.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm
the
excited.
Housewives will be coming.
Oh, the Beverly Hills girls are coming?
Oh, yeah. So the Beverly Hills girls are coming. There'll be some surprise guests for sure. You're going to have a good time.
And Beverly Hills is good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I always love Beverly Hills and New York. And I mean, I love them all, but there's just certain ones because it's my town. And I just feel
like
they always just bring it. And there's like they have the storylines like you guys do where you really can go deep in the discussions. It's not just like, oh, this person, you know, said this mean thing or was late to a party. It's like, oh,
I feel like that, what I've seen of Dubai, it seems very superficial like that, but maybe I'm wrong. I haven't watched
yet. It's exactly that. I think sometimes when people get into it and they're starting, it's like, you know, they've been watching it for 10 years, you right. know? And so you can't, anybody that says, oh, I haven't, they've been watching it. They kind of know like, yeah. well, I guess I should be bringing this or
right.
we got to come off in a bang. So that's right. why I'm like, I wasn't really that in love with it, but I'm like, right. okay, let's give it some breather.
Right.
Because the trailer
let's
looks
give it a chance.
Good. But yeah, but when you have people that you've watched for a long time, it's like, they don't have to do some weird activity. Like they can just right. sit around with a Bloody Mary and
yeah.
you've got and 10 minutes of like really good TV. And yeah. so that's yeah. why I love it. Well, I'm excited to see all the Beverly Hills girls too. So thank you. Tell everybody where they can get their tickets if they're in LA.
Well, if you're in LA, at countessluann.com, and I'll be at the El Rey Theater for 4 nights. I'm excited.
All right. I'm feeling Giovanni. Money can't buy a class.
And, you know, life is a cabaret, my friends.
It really is. All right. Thanks so much, Luann. This was
thanks,
great.
Thanks, Heather. Okay. Great to see you, honey.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks, sir.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have a great guest. I'm going to talk a lot about fashion, what we all need in our lives, thanks to my girlfriend, Jen Principe, also the author of her new book, A Common Thread. And what is it? A Fashion for the Soul book. Great mm-hmm. stories, great tips, everything.
Thank you. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. This is my first in-person since COVID interview, so it's nice to just be face-to-face.
Yes, absolutely. And you brought a lot of great ideas. I really enjoy our friendship.
Me
I
too.
Love that you've been married forever. You have two strapping boys that work with your husband, mm-hmm. and you are the sole girl stylist, girly girl stylist to stars, regular people, and you always look great.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you put all your tips, all your ideas in this book. It's really great.
Thank you. I'm really, really excited about the book, and it just launched last Tuesday, so... I made the bestseller list already, which is really awesome.
I'm really happy for you.
Yeah, right underneath Anna Wintour. So I was like, oh my God, my face right there. It's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, I'm very excited about the book. I think it's going to change lives. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what I really like is like, I always struggle. I love fashion and everything. I always struggle with what to get rid of in my closet, what I need now that I'm a woman of a certain age. I still like to show my legs. But my body's changed a little. Like, I definitely am not the size I was, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't want to wear Spanx.
Yeah.
I do not have a good time in Spanx. Yeah. When I was, like, on TV all the time, every, you know, A-line, super tight dress when I was, you know, would be that Spanx, and I could not wait to take it off. Now I'm like, what can I, you know, look great in, still feel cute, still have a great time, yeah. not have it clinging on to, like, you know, a squirt of fat that I'm not into. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I love that you brought these items. So here's your book. You look so cute here.
Thank you.
And we'll tell everybody where they can get it at the end and all the fun stuff. But, okay, let's get right into, I love that you style these items. So you have a beautiful, like this kind of this color that I'm wearing right now, this coral color, like describe what is going on in this look.
Yeah. So what I did is this is how I work with my clients is I kind of put everything on a mood board for them with different options and different price points. But I just brought in the current trend, which is a lot of bright colors. But this also, I don't know if you can see it, but it has a little cutout on the side and cutouts are really, really big. So for people that are very young and can handle the cutouts that are all over the place, that's great. But for us,
right.
We have to be very selective on where we want the cutout to be. So this particular dress, it's ALC, it's beautiful. And the cutout is on the side and it's in an area that is just, you can rock it. You can totally
yeah.
rock it.
Yeah.
So the other thing I put in here is platforms are coming back. Huge, big,
I'm wearing freaking platforms. Right now.
Yeah. Big freaking platforms.
I mean, I'm tall, but the reason I like a platform and a platform and a wedge is just they're so much
they're
more
comfortable.
Yeah.
For sure. They're comfortable. Yeah. And then I put a rock studded shoe just for a little edge. I love that fan bag. And then just a couple options. And I always throw in sunnies because I'm from Southern California.
Yes. So yeah. cute. Okay.
Thank you.
Now, this is like a little more of a casual, You know, this is an off the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I love a look of an off the shoulder. But again, I kind of struggle with wearing an off the shoulder all day. Because it's
because it's falling.
And then like you almost have to have like a little bag like you have. You cannot have a strap bag because that will and then you got to get the right type of bra. So how do you deal with all those things?
Okay. So, well, the reason I chose this is because we're going into summer. So this is when I choose for my clients in the summer, I really try to choose like fabrics that are light. And this is cottony, very, very light. Off the shoulder, I think, is such a beautiful trend because it shows your décolleté. So no matter how old you get, until you're like probably, you know, in your late 70s, it's harder to do. But I see women in their 70s and 80s still rocking it.
Yeah, and what is great, too, is it then covers, like, the armpit bag. I call it the, you know, vaginal armpit, the squirts of fat around the bra.
Right.
Like, you're right. It's like, I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I don't know why I don't have more things like that, because it is still good and it is still flattering.
Yeah, it's great. I love off the shoulder, and it's great for travel. A good, you know, strapless bra. I tend to wear just the silicone pasties because I don't really need the lift.
Yeah.
But and they're amazing. And then everyone needs a good summer hat. And then I love this wedge. It's so cool. This, I'm seeing a lot of this heel now.
Oh yeah,
it's just a very edgy. Yeah, and Fendi started this.
Oh, it's not a lucite heel.
No, it's
not.
It's a metal. It's a metal. It's actually pretty comfortable.
So it's like open. It looks like it can't handle your foot, but it can.
And so this is, I think Fendi started the trend. This is called Gaia, so it's a lower price line, and then everyone needs hoops in their wardrobe. So
yeah.
I just threw that all together.
Yeah, and the dress is only $115. Is that what that price is?
Okay, no, that's the earring.
Oh, that's but the earring.
Know, the dress. I don't know. I don't know if the price is on there. It's very reasonably priced. I think it's about $130. Okay, this is Zara suit. So
you're going to
be seeing a great price. Lot of colored suits. I love lime. Is huge
with the blazer and a wide, like a wide legged trouser pant.
Right, and again, like she's like what 12, so she can pull off wearing just a bra.
Yeah, but, under the blazer, which looks cute. Yeah.
So I put it with a bodysuit, and then that heel. Again, I'm into these great heels, and I love a monochromatic look. That's called Gaia. Everyone needs a solid gold chain in their wardrobe. And then I put two pairs of sunnies that I would rock it with. So, yeah, that's a Zara trend.
This is really cute.
It's so cute.
I feel like I got to go get that because when I perform in Napa, like, that's what I should be wearing.
It's a little, like, oversized
tonight
and loose.
With, like, and then, yeah, and then... And it's like, let's go shopping at Zara. Yes, and also, yeah, and the way the pants works, what I kind of like about this is you still are seeing, like, a shape and a thin thigh.
Yes.
But it's taking away from, like, the, you know, that the skinny jean or what
yes.
the skinny look
yes.
is out. And then what I also like about this length is you could wear a platform or a wedge and have a more comfortable shoe.
You could. Or if you really want to get edgy, you could shorten it and wear it with a sneaker.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Which is like an edgier look.
Yeah.
It might not be for you, but that's another option.
My ankles are very small, the circumference of them. So I've never been a capri pant girl. I hate T-length.
So do you do strappy shoes? Or do you not
I'll do a strap-on ankle. I'm
because
not
you
weird
have
about
a skinny
that.
Ankle, you
I used
do
to
that.
Be weird about it. I thought it emphasized it, but then I don't know, one day I thought it looked kind of cute.
It is cute.
But I don't like crop pants on me. But I like to look
crop
on
pants
other people.
Are hard in general. That's just a trend that I've not really gotten into. If you wear a crop, I think you have to wear a heel. You have to make it kind of sexy on top. But
yes.
I just think crops with like sneakers is just, unless again, like you're 12.
Yeah.
It doesn't look great. I don't think it's not my favorite trend.
Yeah.
What do we have next?
Okay.
Oh, these are your basic essentials.
Let's get into the basic essentials that everyone needs in their wardrobe.
Everyone needs this. And I could have, you know, given you a lot of stuff. In fact, we'll talk about my QR code and all this is on my website and plus more. But
yeah.
So everyone needs a good buttery leather black jacket.
Totally agree.
This particular one is, who is this? Slide?
Oh, what do you mean?
No. I put it on the side.
Oh, sorry. Here we go.
Okay, nope, can't see it.
Oh,
I can't remember who it is, but
why am I forgetting? If you want to pause, you can go to the link.
No, if you slide down, it's not there?
I have a screenshot.
She screen grabbed it.
Okay. So this is a great leather jacket, and the price point's like $4.99. So for a good buttery leather, it's really reasonably priced. Everyone needs a jean jacket. You can do a regular jean one. I like this one with a little puff sleeve because I feel like it gives you like a little bit more fashion that's on there. A good cami, and cami New York is where I tend to buy mine because they have a little lace and they're just easy to wear. T-shirts, Redone is one of my favorite lines because it's a little cropped and I like them a little bit shorter, but on my website I have all different styles. A good hat.
I like a V-neck T-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do feel like I know sometimes as people are like, who would pay, you know, $85 for a T-shirt? And I you know, I have recently and I'm like, God, a really great T-shirt.
I know.
Lasts really long and you feel like it fits you good or it's in a great color and you wear it a lot more. But you can also find something very similar for $20. But
you can. You're just going to need to replace it more often probably. But you definitely can. I just – once I find what I like, I tend to stick with that. And I like a shorter – sleeve and a little bit more of a boy, you know, crew cut for me. Pair of aviators. Again, there's that necklace. A good clutch in gold works really well. A pair of hoop earrings. And then I put a black tennis shoe and a white tennis shoe. I mean, of course, you can go nuts with tennis shoes. You can get Golden Goose, which is like $600, or you can get Stan Smith. It's been around forever and accomplish a similar look.
My one friend kept going, you got to get Golden Goose. If you're going to wear tennis shoes on stage, you have to. And I just felt like it's just, I see it everywhere and it's so trendy. And I don't really like the dirty look of it. I don't.
I remember when I first got it and I came home and my husband's like, what are those? And then he found out how much they were because the credit card came in and he's like, are you kidding? They look like they're used.
Yeah.
Such a huge trend. I like them, but you know, it's like fashion sometimes has to grow on you.
Yeah.
And even me, like sometimes I see it and I'm like, I'm never going to wear that. And then after a while, I'm like, maybe I am going to wear that. And then I'll incorporate it. Yeah, it does. And then there's certain things I just will not wear. But then these are Vejas. These black ones are super cute. A closed-toe pump is black and nude are your basics, but I like this one because it's got clear and it's just got some edge to it.
Yeah.
A slip dress, a nude shoe, and a bootleg. And then, of course, a blazer. These are just that you have to have these things in your wardrobe. And I could make 10 outfits out of this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So these are the basic
essentials. I basically have all of this.
Good.
I don't think I don't have a good pair of cool ripped jean shorts. I kind of was wondering if I'm too old for that.
Well, you don't have to do ripped jeans.
I mean the jean shorts.
No, you have great legs. Are you kidding? Flaunt them while you can. For sure.
I know, but like, I feel like it could look a little like, how do you make that work and not look like a crazy old lady that like you don't want to let into the store?
Okay, so I think when we slide, we're going to do the next one. So beach, you wear them to the beach with a bathing suit, or you can wear them with a blazer over it. A blazer, a heel, looks really cute. A long blazer. So here's your jean short.
Okay.
I put this on here because we're going into summer. Bucket hats are huge right now. So I put that
cute little bucket hat. I don't know about my face with a bucket hat, but I like the look on other people.
It's cute.
Yeah.
It's cute. Uh-huh. One of those you have to grow. So, and then cutouts on the bathing suits are still really big and one pieces. And then this cover up I really like because it buttons all the way down. So it can dub as a duster as well.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm, and then I did a colored lens on a sunglass because I like that to tie in sort of the whole look. Sometimes I'll throw in a colored lens of whatever color I have going on. And then I did a studded shoe. So.
Yeah, very cute.
I totally wear that to the beach.
Yeah, I know. And I love that one-piece suits are in.
They're so big.
Yes. What's the suit that they gave me? Oh, my God. I think it's called TR3. And they're one-piece suits, and they tie in the back, so they suck in your waist.
TR3. Okay, yes. I'm going to have to check that out.
They're extremely flattering, and they have really high cut.
Ooh, I like that.
Or you can get it a little lower, but TR3. They still have that suck in. You know, like people have tried these like one-piece suits that are almost like Spanx suits or whatever, but they sometimes then almost make you look fatter because they cut you in the like. So this cut is really nice.
Okay, I'll check that out.
I will feature it.
But. Yeah, I'll check that out.
Okay.
Are we done? Oh, no. So, okay, summer. Yeah, summer's right here. So another like basic essential is a maxi. And I did
this
off the shoulder
beautiful.
Again. It's a great dress for travel.
With a big slit in the leg.
Love
I like it.
It. Yeah, that would look great on you.
You know what I hate about slit legs is every dress puts the slit with the left leg leading.
Do you know that? I've never noticed that.
And I always, I have a very specific way that I pose, and I am right leg leaning.
Oh.
And I always thought if I was ever going to get like a dress made, I would obviously want like I always thought if I ever like was going to the Oscars or whatever, some big thing, I definitely want like off the shoulder where so that this covers the bad part of like behind the arm, and then nipped in at the waist and go down, have the slit. But on the right leg, just notice.
That's really funny, Heather. I've never thought about that.
See, this is
I've
her left leg.
I've never thought about that. Yeah.
And so then, like, yeah, you notice how you have a good side or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So
I have a
good side is my good side, so my right leg's always out. And every dress I have, then when I pose for it, trying to get that left leg out, I'm not happy with the photo.
That's really funny. I'm going to start paying attention to your photos now.
So fashion designers listening to this, if you can just try it. See if I'm telling you, they'll still sell. Nobody else will care but me. I need a right-legged slit.
That's
no, but this
funny.
Is a really cute dress.
Cute look. And then again, there's that clear shoe. So if you don't know what color to wear on the bottom because you have a lot going on, clear is a very big trend. And all these like
but
cool
it's like
heels.
Clear with a strap. It's not like a hooker clear shoe.
No. So
or a
cute.
Stripper.
So yeah. Cute. And then a chain necklace, and there's your hoop earrings again, a pair of sunnies. So
yeah, you
easy.
Still have this chain link necklace
on. I wear this every day.
And I feel like that's been in for like a couple years. And I'm like, oh my God, I still love it and everything. But I'm like, is that going to be gone?
Yes. No, get it. No, get it.
But why? But where was it 3 years ago?
I
feel like I feel like 6 years ago, everyone had the bar.
The bar.
Sometimes there was a name. Sometimes there was nothing. And it was the bar this way and then a chain.
Yeah. And then
and
the
bar
and
would like
that.
Sit mm-hmm. between your.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
these bones
I
are.
Don't think this trend is going anywhere soon. So I would invest now and just, okay. You can get a knockoff. You don't have to get a real gold one.
No, can I just tell
one.
You? There is a real gold one. People are going to die. There is a real gold one, a very good quality, kind of thick like you have, like a little more, $500 Costco.
Oh.
And I've been eyeing it.
I'd be going to Costco.
But
I
was just kind of like, is this going to go out?
You would be wearing this today.
I would be wearing it
yeah.
if I had
no,
it.
No. I think the trend is going to stay for a while. So, and you know what? Once it goes away, I don't get rid of jewelry. That's one thing I don't get rid of.
Yeah.
Jewelry, belts, like great outerwear pieces and stuff like that. But I would be at Costco today before that sucker's gone. Yeah.
Probably.
Go get
it. Well, I have to head down that way to the good, to my favorite. Well, my Costco is really nice in Woodland Hills, but the Westlake one, sometimes they have different stuff.
Okay.
I have to go that way to the DMV. So,
okay.
Fun story.
Fun.
Okay. So let's get back to the book here.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the book and the QR code and the chapters and the stories within the fashion.
Okay. So yeah, the book is called A Common Thread. And I chose that name because there's two threads that have been running through my life since as far back as I can remember, and that's faith and fashion. And it's really a weaving of these stories that have happened throughout my life.
What is your faith?
Well, I came from an Orthodox Jewish family. My grandfather was the chief Orthodox rabbi of Los Angeles for 53 years.
Oh, wow.
So like black hat, like really, really Orthodox. But my father who raised me was more conservative, but I spent my weekends at my grandmother's house. So, but it was really kind of dogmatic. Very. Mm-hmm. So I weaved in and out of faith. And my book is a weaving of in and out of faith. And it's also how the universe sort of spoke to me. And the stories are true stories. They're my life stories, and they're the things that taught me the basic virtues of life about forgiveness and resilience and humility and courage. And they're all told in a way that sort of ties in faith or fashion in one way or another. And, you know, I came from abuse. Like I came from alcohol. A lot of people see me like you. I don't know what you thought of me when you first met me, but I had several people come up to me after reading this book and they're like, you know what? I'm sorry. Like, I really judged a book by its cover. And there's a story in my book called Judge a Book by Its Cover. And it's a story about me judging somebody else and the lesson I learned. But, you know, I live
because
a beautiful life.
Because you are very pretty and put together.
Thank you.
Your husband is also very attractive.
He's pretty darn handsome.
You guys are, yeah. I mean, you guys are wealthy. You're outgoing. Your sons are cute. Like, you know, you've led a great life. You're put together and you're sexy for your age, too. Like you're, so yeah, I think people probably just thought you're this like you won the lottery and the, trophy wife girl.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that. And I had somebody say to me, and I actually quoted her in the book, that once she got to know a bit, like a tidbit of my story, she was like, Jen, you weren't born in a Fabergé egg. And
yeah.
Like, I was not. Like, I came from trauma, like major trauma. And I myself, as a teenager, I really struggled. I struggled with depression. I was kicked out of school 4 times for fighting. I went to jail several times. I mean, I had a gnarly background. And this is a story. I wrote this book. I took a leap of faith. It's really scary to put yourself out there and be this freaking vulnerable. And I put myself out there because I believe that my stories will help others rise from the ashes and also realize that trauma is not a final destination. Like, we can really overcome hard things. And so that's why I took the leap of faith to put it out there. And then in the process, because I love fashion, and I've always loved fashion since I was a little girl, I've loved fashion. And I've been doing photo shoots for years, even before I went into my career. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I really got into my career, Heather, that I really fell in love with fashion. And the reason I did is not because of the aesthetics of fashion. I think that clothes and wardrobe extend way beyond covering our bodies and making ourselves look beautiful. There's a psychological impact that clothes have on our psyche. And I've seen that happen more so with all of my clients, but then with my nonprofit even more. That's when I really fell in love with
fashion. And what's your nonprofit?
So 20% of the proceeds goes towards my nonprofit. It's called The Phoenix Effect. I started it 9 years ago, and I curate photo shoots for people that suffer from life debilitating diseases and trauma. And did you not know that?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. It's on my website that the transformations are freaking remarkable. But I named it The Phoenix Effect because the metaphorical phoenix, dives into the fire and it reemerges a stronger, more beautiful bird. And so when people go through trauma and cancer, they lose parts of their identity. Mm. They're losing their hair. They're losing it all.
Yeah,
and so it's hard for them to reemerge back into material. And so I know the benefits of it. So I meet with these families and we curate beautiful photo shoots based on, what they want. What do they need at the time? And they literally come alive on camera. And then they're provided a coffee table, a memorialized coffee table book to keep. And now we give away clothes and sorts of wishes along the way. But so that's really why I'm here. I feel like, God gave me this gift for a reason, and that's to give back to other people. It's not to just make everybody look pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, it's so true. And it's and what is really fun about fashion is that there'd be those certain outfits, especially when I was single. Like there was a halter black romper from Express.
Oh.
That, my God, every time I wore that outfit.
You got attention.
I got attention. I had the best night ever.
I know.
And then there's certain outfits that you buy and you try a couple times. And have you ever bought something you think is great and you realize you've worn it 3 times and nobody told you that they liked it?
No.
And you're like,
just kidding.
No, but no, maybe
yes.
Not.
Yes.
Honestly, it's kind of rare for me too, but I kind of go, that's interesting. Like, not that many people have complimented me on this. Like, I thought it was kind of great, And then you're like, maybe it's not, or those certain items that you buy and you're like, oh, I spent a lot on it, but I still haven't worn it yet, or I don't have the right undergarments for it. What is your advice to that? Do you just go bite the bullet, give it away, or sell it on one of these resale things? Where I have a hard time.
Okay, here's my answer. First of all, yes, I purchased a lot of fashion faux pas. But I've also purchased things that make me feel really good, and if I don't get compliments on them, it makes me feel good. I feel good in it. But, what we wear shapes our experience, right? I mean, that's exactly what you were saying with your Express romper. It does. It can shape our parameters. So sometimes we go out and we feel like $1 million, right? We walk in, our head held high. We're like, ooh, I look good. And then other times we just don't feel good in what we're wearing.
Yeah.
Give it away. If you don't feel good in what you're wearing, give it to somebody who will enjoy, because there's so many people in need. And, I like to visualize people walking around wearing my stuff and being happy.
Yeah.
It makes me feel really good. So I go through my wardrobe all the time and I give away stuff that if I haven't worn it in a year, there's a reason why. But if it makes me feel really good, and that's the whole purpose of wardrobe. Like I can, somebody can hire me and I can make you look fashionable, no problem. But if I'm in somebody's wardrobe and they're like, oh my, you know, I got this from my brother, gave it to me before he passed away. Or like, I got this from, you know, my husband, this really means a lot to me. Should I wear it? Is it still in fashion? I'm like, it is 100% in fashion if it makes you feel good. And we're going to incorporate it and make it so that it does look good with, you know, whatever you're wearing. So my answer is if it makes you feel good, then you should wear it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't make you feel good, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell everybody where they can find your website, all this stuff, and the cool QR code part of the book.
Yeah, so the best part about the book is I wrote this book, and then I have always wanted to provide a platform for people who can't afford the luxury of a personal stylist because it is expensive and it's a luxury. And I want to help more people. So I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was like – and this is during COVID when we had to scan all the codes. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have this idea. What if I do fashion tutorials and I put QR codes in my book and then people can scan them and I can teach them how to become their own personal stylist? So I started doing that. I started filming these tutorials about a year ago. And so I've built this thing called the Wardrobe Wisdom Club. And when you scan the codes, you get your basic essential wardrobe for free. There's like, I think, 4 videos. They're long and they tell you exactly what you need in your wardrobe with free downloads, etc. And then you join the Wardrobe Wisdom Club. It's $15 a month, which is so reasonable, with links on where to buy things, free downloads. And I cover everything from basic essentials, body types, also with downloads so that you can do's and don'ts for your body type. So when you go shopping, if you can find an experienced salesperson, you can say, hey, I'm looking for a shift dress. I'm looking for I give them verbiage so that they know how to what to find. Body types, color, tailoring, vintage. I mean, you name it, it's all in there. And then bi-monthly, you'll get a newsletter with more looks, just trends for the season, things I've run into that I love, etc. So the QR code is in the book and it's scannable. And there's 4 in the book total because there's a story in there about my son, which is incredible. It's chapter 3 and it's a documentary that he made that is – grab tissues. It's really freaking good. So yeah, so there's the book. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, online. I did an Audible with my own voice that apparently everyone really likes. I had no idea. So I did an Audible. And then my website is jpstyles.com. So you can go to my website. You can buy it there. And awesome. I'm on Instagram.
Yes,
Jen
of Prince course.
Style. So
yeah,
you can
and your
follow
Instagram
me
is great. You get a lot of fashion tips just by following
Thank
her on
you.
Instagram and get to see her cute life too.
Thank you.
Thank you, girl.
Thanks for
Congrats.
Having me. Mwah.